Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. You know me, I'm your aptly named host. It's Friday, October 18th, 2013. And very good to be back in the studio after a hiatus last week. Oh, I hope you were with me last week. I'd suffer orthostatic hypotension if I were forced to endure the knowledge that you had missed. I had a great interview, but I didn't get the job. Suzanne Felder, a consultant in outplacement at Lee Hecht Harrison, said there's more to getting a job than having a good resume and interview. We talked about research, panel interviews, dodging the salary question, and what to do in the last 30 minutes before your interview. And storytelling. Rochelle Charetz, founder and executive director of Charcherit, shared ideas on identifying and supporting storytellers and why it's all worth your time. This week, Giving Tuesday, Rachel Hutchison with Blackbaud and Anastasia Delaccio from the United Nations Foundation share the history of Giving Tuesday and how easy it is for your nonprofit to get involved with this international movement on December 3rd of this year. And that was recorded at BBCon just late last month. Also, new low Facebook reach? Has your Facebook page reach plummeted? Amy Sample Ward, our social media contributor and CEO of N10, the nonprofit technology network, will explain what the heck is going on with Facebook page reach and what you can do about it. Plus, her 60-second style stop, of course. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, reply cards that your planned giving donors can actually reply on. We're sponsored by Rallybound, software for runs, walks, and rides. They are a partner for Giving Tuesday, and they're offering something valuable. I'll explain that later in the show. I welcome them to sponsorship. Now we have the interview on Giving Tuesday, recorded at BBCon. Here is that. Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of BBCon 2013. We're outside Washington, D.C., and National Harbor, Maryland, at the Gaylord Convention Center. With me are Rachel Hutchison and Anastasia Delaccio. We're talking today about Giving Tuesday. Rachel is Director of Corporate Citizenship and Philanthropy for Blackbaud, and Anastasia is Outreach and Special Initiatives Officer for the United Nations Foundation. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to have you. Rachel, let's start with you. What is Giving Tuesday?
Giving Tuesday is a wonderful movement that's really designed to get everyone, individuals, organizations, and businesses involved in giving back. Anastasia can give you a lot better detail, but the whole idea is that if we can have Black Friday and Cyber Monday, 2 days committed to shopping, then we need to have Giving Tuesday, which is the opening day of the giving season, committed to giving back.
Okay, when is that?
It is December 3rd, which for people in the U.S. is the Tuesday immediately following Thanksgiving.
Okay. How did Giving Tuesday come about? Where is it from? Anastasia, you want to say?
Sure. So, you know, to what Rachel said earlier, you know, you have these 2 days after Thanksgiving that are really about shopping and commerce and buying presents for people, which is great. It's great. It's great for the economy. But we wanted to, and Matthew Bishop and Henry Timms of the 92nd Street Y kind of came up with this idea that it's important to bring personal philanthropy and giving and volunteerism back into the holiday season, back into the holiday spirit. You know, a lot of people do a lot of their giving at the end of the year, and it's kind of thought about as an afterthought. So why not preempt that and use it as a way to open up the holiday season by giving back a little bit as well. So the idea, this whole idea came about, and, you know, it's just a way to really be able to bring people together on one day, which this year is December 3rd. Mark your calendars. It's a way to unite people all around the world about philanthropy and giving back. And you don't have to just donate. You can donate, which is great, to your favorite cause. You can volunteer, you can work at a food bank, you can do a clothing drive, or you can go onto some websites of a lot of our great partners, like UNICEF, and purchase wonderful gifts that also give back at the same time.
Okay. There's a way for nonprofits to take part in Giving Tuesday, to promote it to their constituents? What can they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Giving Tuesday is really just there as a platform for good. Essentially, it's a megaphone for the great work that people are already planning. So as a nonprofit, you can join and you can just plan to do some sort of online fundraiser, you know, offline fundraiser, whatever it is that you want to do to be able to highlight, you know, your giving programming that you probably already have planned around the holidays anyway. You can also be a corporation or a small business or an individual and just plan something that would benefit a 501c3. Or you can just volunteer your time and host a fundraiser yourself or do a book drive or, you know, work with your kids to clean up a local park. It's kind of for anyone. It's an absolute no barrier entry. There's no cost for entry. The only benefit is that it's a great way to be able to highlight your work.
Rachel, how long have we had Giving Tuesdays?
Giving Tuesday launched last year. This is the second year. And Blackbaud is very excited to be both a founding partner, working to convey and help share the love, help everyone get involved in the movement, and then also to do some very specific things ourselves. The whole goal for us is that we believe in philanthropy, we believe in giving, and we would love to see that universe of people who are giving and serving be bigger. And Giving Tuesday is a way, particularly through social media, to reach people who are maybe not engaging in the world of philanthropy. It amplifies it, so the goal is to try to reach deeper into the audience.
Okay. And why don't we talk a little about what Blackbaud is doing as a founding member of Giving Tuesday?
Sure. So we have a lot of things planned at Blackbaud for Giving Tuesday. And our philosophy comes from trying to reach all the different audiences that we work with.
And that'll be important for our listeners, some of whom are Blackbaud clients, customers, some are not. But our audience is small and mid-sized nonprofits.
Right. So it's really for anybody, whether you're thinking about you as an individual person, whether you're thinking about you working within your nonprofit. But first and foremost, we want to share the news about Giving Tuesday with the nonprofit market, just so that they're aware of it and they have an opportunity to engage. We're working specifically to share the news with our customer base here at BBCon. And also, very specifically, we're hosting a three-part webinar series, the Tuesdays leading up to Giving Tuesday in November. And it's about year-end fundraising, because people often ask, well, what's Giving Tuesday? It's just a day. But what it is it's an opportunity to really amplify what you're doing and to weave it into the very, very important year-end fundraising plans that you have. So we have Matthew Bishop from The Economist, Henry Timms from the 92nd Street Y, and Adam Hirsch from Edelman joining us on those shows, and then different organizations like the San Diego Zoo talking about this is what we do for year-end fundraising, and this is how we use Giving Tuesday to help with that, because it's not something you really just do completely in a silo. So we're doing this series to help people understand, help nonprofits understand what they may do. Another audience that we really care about is our employees. So Blackbaud has 2,700 employees. 81% of them volunteer. They're really engaged. And so we're looking to them and saying, you as people have an opportunity to say, this is what I'm passionate about. Take a picture of it, put it on Instagram. We're going to scroll it on our website. You know, just tell us how you choose personally to give back. So those are a couple. Small to mid-sized business is another. We're a mid-sized business. So I run corporate citizenship and philanthropy, and we do a lot of things to give back to the world. And one of the things I've observed is that businesses really do want to engage in their community, and often they don't really know how to strategically think about it. So on Giving Tuesday this year, we're launching businessdoinggood.com, and it is a resource for small to mid-sized businesses to learn about how they kind of build that give back function into their business.
Where will we find the webinar series that's the three Tuesdays leading up to December 3rd?
If you look at Blackbaud's website, www.blackbaud.com/Giving Tuesday, there's a landing page on the site. There's also, cards at BBCon, and it will allow you immediately to register for the three.
Okay, and of course they're free, right?
The webinar's absolutely free. Yeah. It's thought leadership. It's educational content just to help anybody who is interested.
Okay. Anastasia, let's talk a little about some ideas that nonprofits might use to engage. I mean, I know you said it's wide open, really no barriers.
Sure.
But let's get into some specifics you know organizations are doing or that you think could be really useful.
Sure. I'd love to highlight some case studies of some of our great partners. And I just also want to note, at this point, we're at about 2,700 partners, which is where we were when we finished last year.
Okay.
So it's quite a big feat. People are, you know, jumping on the bandwagon, and that's great. But I think part of what Blackbaud is doing, which is really interesting, is that a lot of our partners came to us after and said, how can I maximize my giving strategy this year? How can I stand out from the crowd? And so, you know, there's a lot of great organizations. The U.S. Hockey Foundation is going to be drawing attention to fundraising of fans by creating an interactive map. And different states are going to turn colors red, white, and blue according to how much money has been raised, which is a really interactive way to engage your donor base and you know, engage more of a donor base who want to see these interactive and the states change colors. So yeah, I thought that that's kind of a cool
And then
thing.
Also makes a little competition.
Absolutely,
right? Like the
yeah.
New England states, I could see maybe competing against each other and mm-hmm. maybe the Four Corners states out in the West might be competing. Okay, it's a little friendly state competition. Okay.
U.S. Airways, they're going to be activating their Miles for Hope program, making sort of a mile matching campaign. Discover is going to do...
Say a little more about the mile matching campaign.
Yeah, so as people fly, they're going to be donating money back to their cause.
Okay.
Discover is going to be doing a 2% match program of donations, and they're also doing an employee activation campaign, which is great because I think when you're thinking about corporates, you can give back you know, to the causes that you're partnering with, but it's also great to be thinking about how can you activate your own employee base. Last year for the UN Foundation, you know, beyond having our various campaigns, Girl Up, Shout Out Life, Nothing But Nets, doing their own fundraising initiatives as well.
What was the last one?
Nothing But Nets.
Nuts.
And
okay.
Shot at Life. We had a really clever employee activation where we're never allowed to wear jeans. And if we donated and showed that we donated to any cause that we wanted to, we were allowed to wear jeans for the day.
Okay.
So for us, that was like a big deal.
All right.
And
only one day?
I mean, it was just Giving Tuesday, hopefully.
How about a week? I mean, the week leading up or something. No, only one day.
Yeah, maybe if you give every single day leading up. You know, I'll have to bring that
it's
up.
It's a little strict there at the UN Foundation. One day. Okay.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you need a business plan that can guide your company's growth? Covenant 7 will help bring the changes you need. We are small business consultants, and we pay attention to the details you may miss. Our coaching and consultant services are guaranteed to lead to right growth for your business. Call us at 917-833-4860 for a no-obligation free consultation. Check out our website at www.covenant7.com.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
What are the other ideas?
Some other ideas. UN Women is going to be kind of bridging the gap between the International Day of Eliminating Violence Against Women and International Human Rights Day. And since it falls right, Giving Tuesday falls right in the center, they're going to be doing a huge online campaign around that. with a lot of creative stuff. So definitely encourage people to look out for that. I know a small charter school in Washington, D.C. called Creative Minds International. They're going to be working with a lot of other small organizations to put together an in-person fundraising event, which will be a really exciting way to kind of bring people in. And, you know, you talk a lot about with Giving Tuesday, the whole offline aspect of really bringing people together around a specific day, combined with the online aspect of taking the social media to really make an impact kind of much wider than your community. Another great thing that we're really excited about this year is that last year at the end of Giving Tuesday, we had countries writing us and tweeting us saying, how can we take this beyond the U.S.? How can we take this to our own country?
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot of Giving Tuesday going global, which is super exciting. We really encourage, you know, organizations and countries at this point to take our logo and personalize it and make it their own. So we're seeing Giving Tuesday Australia, Canada, Singapore, Mexico, England. It's going to be really cool.
Any other the Asian countries? We have a lot of listeners in Korea, China, Japan. Any of those?
You know, nobody that we've had officially sign up per se. It doesn't mean the conversations aren't happening.
Okay.
And obviously, we can't manage the world. And what we're seeing, actually, another really cool thing that's happening is the UN, UNDP is going to come on as a partner. And that's going to be a really great way to take this into some of the most remote communities in the world. So we'll definitely see a lot of Asia. But, you know, we can't kind of personalize and culturalize the messaging for the world from a U.S. perspective.
Yeah,
so I think it's really important to bring in those cultural sensitivities. And, you know, as Giving Tuesday does start to move in Asia, you know, people don't give in the same way all over the world. And people don't, you know, and even just saying give around the holidays. Well, in England, the holidays are when you take up and go on vacation. So, you know, it's very important that each country takes the messaging and makes it their own. And I'm really excited to see that this is going to become a global time when the world can come together and really move the dial on giving.
Rachel, it looked like you wanted to add something more about the international expansion.
No, I was just thinking, I know AFP International, the Association of Fundraising Professionals, is working with, is it Imagine Canada in Canada to take it across Canada. And the thing that, you know, I'm sitting here nodding about is that Giving Tuesday is a movement. It's not something that's bound by geographical borders. And so, of course, it should be everywhere. And I love the fact that it is up to each person, organization, or company that engages to add their meaning to what Giving Tuesday means to them. So it really gives them a way to amplify or give voice to what they believe, what they're passionate about. And that makes it, I think, easier to translate it into other cultures. Sure, in the U.S., we think of it, you know, it's predicated on these days following Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving. But it's a concept that's so easy to grasp.
Now, I have heard some, maybe criticism or just really questioning of Giving Tuesday. People not really seeing the reason other than it's just a day in the season, not seeing the you know why it's then versus some other time. Do you hear challenges of the concept and I guess they were also questioning what's the impact? I mean, what's actually getting done? Anastasia, you want?
Sure. Well, you know, I think if you look at the commerce state, you know, you have sales around President's Day, you have sales around Labor Day. So it's something that happens perennially. So why can't giving? You know, people before Giving Tuesday would just give at the end of the year. So now we have Giving Tuesday, and hopefully, you know, maybe people will think to give every Tuesday or they'll think to give every day. But what it is a call to action. And it's just a time to bring everyone together. And I mean, even I guess if you're just thinking of the perspective from the United States, really at the end of the day, we've got these Cyber Monday, Black Friday, 2 days dedicated to shopping, and that's fine. But, you know, the holidays are about giving and giving back and thinking about people who are not as fortunate as all of us. And if we can create a marketing campaign and an online campaign around just giving and philanthropy, why not? I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it's an all-inclusive thing, and we're there you know, not there's no payment to be a partner. Anyone can be a partner. My job at the UN Foundation and as part of the Giving Tuesday campaign is really to just be a megaphone for the world and to highlight what other people are doing to do good in the world and give back. And so I think it's a fantastic thing.
Rachel, did you want to say something to the people who question Giving Tuesday?
Well, I think it's a valid question. I mean, here we are in a sector that's very concerned based on donor interest in looking at the impact of a gift. And we want to show data that shows that we're moving things in the right direction. It's a hard thing to do, you know, on a grand scale when you've got all of these organizations doing and people doing their individual things to know exactly how much has changed. But one of the things that Blackbaud is doing as a partner, and we did this last year and we're doing it again this year, is that we host a lot of data. So we manage a lot of nonprofits' data. So we will look at how much is brought in on Giving Tuesday, how much is processed through our systems in fundraising, and we will look at that same day, so many days after Thanksgiving the previous year, and we'll say, we can tell you that it was up by X percent or down or the same or whatever it is. And then we'll have to look at the end of the year and say, well, what did year-end do? Because maybe it's just people are giving earlier, you know. So it's a data analysis question, but we are going to have some data that shows what did it actually, as a proxy, what did it affect that day?
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd like to add, actually, that according to Blackbaud last year, online giving actually increased 53% in one day.
And from the previous
year.
Same day, yeah. Previous year.
And you know, we're managing and paying close attention to a lot of real-time data because a lot of people, because it was such an online-heavy campaign, you know, people tweeting and Instagramming the results. So we're looking at actual real-time data of people saying, you know, by 11 o'clock, oh, we're now up to $20,000. And mm-hmm. by 2 o'clock, oh, we're now up to $40,000. So, you know, I have pages and pages of these tweets that I copied and pasted and collected as our own just general, you know, real-time reporting data. And, you know, it did move the needle for a lot of people, for sure.
Okay. Where is the site, Rachel, where we can... Is there a site where we can see the 2,700 partners so far that Anastasia mentioned?
Yeah, it's givingtuesday.org.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, excellent. And that's where somebody would go if they would like to become involved either at the charitable level, I mean, on the nonprofit level, charity level, as an individual. How about for a company? Same thing?
Yep. GivingTuesday.org is for individuals, companies, nonprofits, whoever wants to get involved. And, you know, the folks at Giving Tuesday are great. If you're interested in getting involved and you need a little bit of more information, you know, just call them, talk to them, and it's about bringing more people into the circle.
Go ahead, Anastasia.
And in addition, you know, on our website, there's a lot of great information, including some great toolkits, which have everything from sample press releases, if you want to pitch your own local media, to all of the logos, ideas, just kind of the whole, you know, Q&A, obviously. So anyone who's interested can download the toolkit. You know, you just have to sign up. Kind of write, you know, two or three sentences on what your plans are. And I think that the people who also gain the most put in the most, and, you know, we're there as a resource. So if you want to write blog posts for us, go ahead. Last year we were really lucky. We had the cities of Philadelphia and Los Angeles and Chicago and New York actually proclaim Giving Tuesday in their cities.
Excellent.
So we're encouraging people to reach out to your local cities and get a proclamation. We have toolkits for that. You know, there's many ways that you can get involved. We also, you know, per what Rachel said before, it's a movement. And what made it so successful last year was we put together a whole group of people called our social media ambassadors, which are just individuals who really wanted to get more involved in spreading the word. And we have weekly and biweekly calls to action. We have Google Plus Hangouts. We have our blog. You know, write us if you want to do a blog post for us. Fine. If you want to host a Google Plus Hangout on giving or small business and giving or CSR or whatever it is, we'll support that. We'll amplify it. You know, whatever you want to put in, we'll be there to make sure that your strategy is highlighted and that you can maximize your results for Giving Tuesday this year.
Okay. And I assume on Twitter, the hashtag is Giving Tuesday.
Yeah. It is, okay. And I was just going to mention that. The Giving Tuesday hashtag isn't just active on and around Giving Tuesday. It's got people tweeting, you know, all the time. I have a column in my tweet deck, Giving Tuesday, and I watch it every day, and people are sharing their stories about the pledges they're making, the success that they're seeing, and their excitement. And you see these things from Australia and other places, and you can almost watch how it's spreading by watching the Twitter feed.
Rachel, we have another 5 minutes or so. What more would you like to say that I haven't asked you about Giving Tuesday?
Well, you know, personally, Giving Tuesday is important to me because a lot of the things in the you know, giving world, they're kind of parameters about how you have to engage and what size company you are or what size nonprofit you are or whether you have a lot of infrastructure. So I love that it's something that's really based on enthusiasm and passion. And that was really also the impetus behind the site that we're launching, businessdoinggood.com, that a lot of businesses, the resources that are available to them to build give back programs are really aimed for Fortune 500 companies, you know, the conferences, the resources, the studies. And so as a mid-sized business, Blackbaud's very interested in helping other organizations, because 79% of the people in the U.S. who work for business work for small to mid-sized business. Mm. And so we want to help those businesses in all those many communities understand that they can have a really intentional way to handle something that can sometimes be a problem. You know, people coming to them and asking them for gifts and asking them for products and how they can not only handle it, but then also make it something very exciting. It's something that's important to their employees. And we're just trying to take that model of employee engagement and excitement and passion for service that we have at Blackbaud and taking it and sharing it with so many other people who are so interested in that as well and making it something doable. So I'm personally very excited about that launch, and what better day to launch it than Giving Tuesday. So okay. We're looking forward to December 3rd.
Excellent. Anastasia, anything you want to leave us with? A couple minutes?
Yeah, I also just want to let everybody know that the Twitter handle is @GivingTues. So you can follow.
The handle.
The handle.
Okay.
So it's @GivingTues.
T-U-E-S?
Yes.
Okay.
Hashtag is Giving Tuesday. You know, like us on Facebook. And we're always open for creative ideas as well. So if you have any ideas on really interesting activations that we could do on Giving Tuesday or leading up to it, let us know. And again, you know, we want to make this an all-inclusive, crowdsourced, successful campaign. So, you know, if you want to host a Google Plus Hangout, let us know. If you want to contribute to the blog, let us know. If you want your city to proclaim your, you know, their city Giving Tuesday, then let us know. We're always open to share our own ideas and case studies, and we just want to make it a collective success, and that can only be done, you know, in tandem with our nonprofit and corporate and partners and individuals who are passionate. And so we're really, really looking forward to this year. I'm so excited it's going global. You know, I work with the UN Foundation. So for me, to be able to see philanthropy kind of going into the hands of the world is a very exciting thing. And I'm just proud to be part of this this opening to the holiday season.
Rachel Hutchison is Director of Corporate Citizenship and Philanthropy for Blackbaud, and Anastasia Dellaccio is Outreach and Special Initiatives Officer for the UN United Nations Foundation. Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for
sharing Giving Tuesday with us. Listening to Tony Martinetti nonprofit radio coverage of BBCon 2013. Outstanding. I was very glad that we got that interview and that we could do it now. It's perfect time for you to be thinking about Giving Tuesday and looking at givingtuesday.org. We have a lot of listeners who joined sort of in the middle. I'll be posting my takeaways on the Facebook page, and also you can always catch the podcast if you didn't hear everything live that you wanted to. There's information on listening to the podcast on my blog at tonymartinetti.com. Tons of live listeners: Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey; Greenville, South Carolina; Livonia, New York; Baltimore, Maryland; Statesboro, Georgia; La Jolla and San Jose, California; New Bern, North Carolina. And those are only the U.S. ones. I've got pages and pages of live listeners. Now, the pages are only like 4 inches by 5 inches, so, but they're not the tiny little post-it notes, like 1 inch by 1 inch. I've got multiple pages of live listeners. Hang in there. We'll do more live listener love. When we come back, it's Tony's Take Two. And then, has your Facebook page reach plummeted Amy Sample Ward is going to explain what's happened and what you can do. Hang in there.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloane Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power, Power Hour,
at 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloane.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Lively conversation, top trends, and sound advice. That's Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. And I'm Jana Eggers, Senior Vice President, Products and Marketing from Blackbaud.
Time for Tony's Take Two. This week I blogged, can planned giving prospects reply on your reply card? As you do your year-end mailings, I hope you will make sure that your planned giving reply cards are user-friendly for your older planned giving prospects. We're talking about folks in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. If you're asking them to fill in information like their name, their email address, mailing address, there needs to be enough space for them to write on the reply card, because those older hands can have arthritis or have other pain or just be shaky for some reason. So you need to make sure that you have lots of vertical and horizontal space on your reply card so people can write in that space. And that means lots of space between the lines, and make sure that the lines are long enough. If people can't use your reply card because it's too small, then what would you expect is going to happen? They are probably not going to pick up the phone to call you. They're probably going to throw the reply card away, and you will lose a touch point, and you'll never know where that point may have led. There's more about that on my blog at tonymartinetti.com. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, 18th of October, and the 41st show of the year. Always my pleasure to welcome Amy Sample Ward. She's the CEO of Nonprofit Technology Network, N10. She's our regular monthly social media contributor. Her most recent co-authored book is Social Change Anytime, Everywhere, about online multi-channel engagement. You'll find her blog at amysampleward.org. And on Twitter, she's at amyrsward. Amy Sample Ward, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
It's always a pleasure.
You know, about your, before we dive in, about Tony's Take Two.
Yeah.
That is a huge pet peeve for me, because I have no arthritis, at least yet, knock on wood, in my hands. Mm-hmm. I think that I am able to write pretty small, but I can never fit my name or my email or anything on those cards. And sometimes I feel like, okay, well, I can't actually give you money now, or I can't, you know, sign up on your newsletter or sign your petition because I can't write my name in there.
Yeah, they just don't give enough space.
You missed opportunity.
Okay, I Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's talk a little about Giving Tuesday, just briefly, because that was our last segment. What are you seeing around Giving Tuesday?
You know, I think it's, there's a lot more excitement this year. Many more organizations are going to be participating, which I think is great, because if you have an opportunity to kind of jump on existing excitement or passion or throw your name in on a large-scale marketing effort, then great, go for it. But a lot of questions are coming up, at least to us at N10, similar to the questions that we see from organizations when they're participating in a giving day, that maybe their state or their region has organized a giving day, where what do we actually do if a bunch of people that we don't know find us through this effort or come out of the woodwork and donate for the first time? How do we keep them engaged? What are we supposed to do with them afterwards? Because for many organizations participating in Giving Tuesday, they're not doing that in lieu of a year-end campaign.
No,
they're just
of course.
Kind of launching their year-end campaign at that point. So have we not burned those two people out by immediately then saying, awesome, you've donated, now you're part of our year-end campaign, and getting all these emails to keep giving when maybe you're a brand-new person? So those are the questions. But for us, you know, the answers or the recommendations are similar to like we do when states have a giving day, or just general best practice for fundraising and engagement, and that is you have to be segmenting those people. You need to have a system to say, if people came in, this was their very first time ever donating to us, maybe they hadn't even been really on your list, but you know their friends had promoted you or something like that, kick those people into a separate email campaign so they're not necessarily immediately bombarded with give five more times before the end of the year, but you know, have a chance to get to know you, learn more about the work, figure out why it was that they donated the first time, and then ease them towards another gift in the future versus automatically treating everyone on your list the same.
It's very good that nonprofits are thinking about what their follow-up is going to be, what their engagement strategy is going to be for the people who might join them on Giving Tuesday. That's very encouraging.
Yes, for sure. But I think it's because they know that's the critical piece, right? Whether it's in engagement with an advocacy tilt or engagement with a fundraising tilt, it's pretty more or less easy to go out there in a big splashy campaign and get a lot of, you know, first-time engagements. The piece that is most critical is that second and third, where people really are like, okay, great, now I'm going to follow this organization. It wasn't just a one-time my friend asked me to give. It was this big thing, and I gave $5. Like, I'm going to give $5 every month now, or whatever that is. So realizing that it isn't just, great, how do we get that second and third and fourth engagement? That has to come through a plan, and you have to have a strategy well ahead of time so that you can segment them out or know what kind of message you want to follow up with.
We know that Amy's breaking up a little bit. Amy, you probably can't hear it, but she's on Skype this month. And it's not...
I'm not on Skype.
Oh, you're not?
I'm on my normal... No.
Oh, you are. It's a little breakup. Not that we can't understand, you know, but like... what are those things called? Syllables. A syllable drops out every couple of words. It's really just
all
not
right.
That bad. So
I will not move or gesture too wildly in case it is interfering with the phone line.
Okay. Actually, that last sentence was just perfect. So whatever you did, whatever position
great.
You're in, one leg on the ground and your left hand up on your head and your right hand holding your nose, don't move.
Great.
Okay. Facebook reach. I'm seeing a lot of nonprofits concerned about Facebook reach dropping. Let's first define what reach, let's define a couple terms. First, what's reach?
Okay, great. I was worried when you said let's define a couple terms, you were going to start with Facebook. So we can start with what's reach easily, and that is a ever-changing algorithm-based metric. So Facebook has all kinds of individual components that go into this massive algorithm to output this one magical, mystical number called reach. And it's it's a moving target for many organizations, and recently, as they've added a bunch of components in that determine, you know, how much reach they're going to allow your post to have, organizations are seeing all different kinds of things happening with their content, with engagement, because ultimately, people can't engage with a post that never showed up in the newsfeed or, you know, that they never got to see.
Right, and we're talking now about reach. This is on your not your personal page. This is your organization page. That's where page reach.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not applies. Your own profile when you log in, but if you manage a page, you'll see the reach there.
Okay. Now, you mentioned engagement, and you know, I'm quick to put you in jargon jail, but
sure.
Let's define engagement.
So engagement, in this sense, as far as the pieces that are going to influence reach, those pieces that fall into that huge algorithm that Facebook's using to determine if they push your post out or not, you know, who gets to see it, are a couple pieces that I'm calling engagement because it's like the bucket term of people liked it or they commented or they shared, you know, they interacted with that post. And the more that happens, the more that they assume people want to see that post and the further they push it. So the more reach it gets.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, the number of factors, I saw something on the order of like over 100,000 variables going into this reach algorithm.
Yeah, Mary Smith, who is a great social media blogger resource, if you don't know Mary Smith, she did post that there's, you know, over 100,000 components to that algorithm determining just what, you know, who is going to see it or how far the reach is going to go. You know, Facebook's determining that. I have no substantial evidence to say yes or no on that number, but in theory, I totally believe that because the pieces that are going into it, things like when was the last time I interacted with that page, and if it was a year ago, they're, you know, Facebook is assuming then that I'm not interested in seeing the updates from that page. But there's a lot of catch-22s in the algorithm because maybe I haven't seen the page's updates in a year because Facebook didn't show me the updates in a year, so that's why I haven't seen them. And so some of those pieces, even though they sound like catch-22s within the Facebook system, organizations have the opportunity to try and disrupt that catch-22 by, you know, if you have a post that you've, you know, say you've posted a question on your Facebook page to get people to answer and vote on something, you know, whatever your post may be, and then you have it on your blog or maybe you put it in your newsletter, don't just point people back to your website, but say, you know, give them the choice to also click through to Facebook to vote on or, you know, comment or whatever that post may have been about. So that way, even if those people within Facebook navigated to your page in a while, if they've clicked through and now they're on the page, you know, on Facebook, great. Now Facebook system is saying, you know, all these people checked out the page today, looked at this post, we're going to put them back at the top of the list of people who are interested in the page.
Right.
So you're kind of, you know, trying to stop that inward, inside Facebook circle that's not catching those people.
And we're going to take a break a little early to give you a chance to call back. We're going to go to break and we'll do a little live listener love to give you enough time to make sure that you get re-engaged with us by phone. So we're going to continue this conversation with Amy Sample Ward on the Facebook reach plummeting, and stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Let's do some live listener love. Florence, Mississippi is on. Join us. Thank you for joining Mississippi. Live listener love out there. Charleston, South Carolina, Keyport, New Jersey, and Flemington, New Jersey. I remember the Flemington Fur Company. I wonder if that's still there. When I was growing up, it was a very big fur company and vault. But let's go abroad. Seoul and Ansan, Korea, always wishing you Anyo Haseyo. Adelaide, Australia. Kanagawa, Tokyo, Miyoshi, Japan. Live listener love to you. Konnichiwa. Mexico City, checking in. Love that. Beijing, Guangzhou, and Shanghai, China. Ni hao. And there are other countries as well. We will get to you, I promise. Always sending live listener love. Amy Sample Ward is back. Hopefully, I think we have a little better connection this time. And we're going to continue our conversation on the Facebook page issue. Amy, is N10 seeing a difference in its page reach?
Definitely. So I think this could be the first time in history in which a cell phone has a better connection than a desk phone. But,
yeah, but it is better now.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's better. And I will continue to not move out of this position.
Okay.
So Julia and I, Julia is one of the N10 staff, we pulled up some different charts and graphs to try and compare, you know, about a month ago versus this last month, where a lot of people have reported seeing the difference kind of kick into their pages. And N10, similarly, has seen a really big change. And what's interesting, and both Beth Cantor talking about her, you know, Beth Cantor page versus her personal profile, as well as Jeremy Bivens talking about the Foundation Center's pages.
Yes.
All report a similar result that N10 has seen, which is overall the average. You know, if you're just looking at everything taken into one big bucket, the average reach or the, you know, engagement, those things in your Facebook insights look the same. But when you look at a more post-by-post, you know, granular level, it's one thing that's huge, and then the rest is well below normal. Instead of having a little bit more, you know, middle of the way, and then every once in a while something that does a bit better, something that maybe does a little bit worse, but now that average is staying the same because one post, you know, out of many, just did way better than ever, and then all the rest are really low.
That's not good.
Right, because, you know, for many organizations, you may just be looking at the average and thinking, oh, we're not, you know, impacted by these changes, but really, you're just having one post that a lot of people saw. The rest are really low, and you're missing out on, you know, bringing those other posts up, figuring out what was working about that one that did really well.
Excellent.
So,
okay.
So for us, what we've seen, the specific posts that have done, you know, far better, like, just to rattle off some numbers, you know, there was a couple posts, like one each day, where the reach was 308, 316, 550. And then the next day, over 2,000.
Oh, my.
out of nowhere. And so what's unique about that one that had over 2,000, so the other ones all included either an image or a link, And again, that's because even if you include a link, it's going to pull in an image from that, you know, web page, from the source of the link, which traditionally everyone, you know, said, oh, Facebook loves those images. Make sure you have a picture or a link or something. But the one that had over 2,000 was just a text post. It just said, my organization's most important measure of success is blank. You know, just a prompt for people to fill in the blank and, you know, have some conversation in the comments. And that one did so much better. Again, then you start looking through the previous week, everything has a picture or a link, you know, anywhere between 300 and 100 as far as the reach. And then, oh, one that's just a text, and it's, again, nearly 2,000.
You and I probably read the same post by Mary Smith. And by the way, that's M-A-R-I Smith. If you want to follow her, look at her valuable information on Facebook, on her Facebook page. I think you and I read the same article. She suggests that one of these among these new variables is what people are interacting with more, what type of post people are interacting more with, whether it's an image photo post or a strictly text based post.
Yeah, and so part of that issue within, you know, within this algorithm and Facebook's trying to determine which posts to show you, just as it's looking at time, like when was the last time you engaged with this page or visited this page, Facebook is also looking at when you did engage, what kind of post was it?
Yeah.
And the catch-22 with that is that maybe you know, filled in the blank on that status update that we posted, and now the catch-22 is it thinks that's all you want. So you're kind of locked in to seeing those kinds of posts. Or maybe you liked a photo that we posted. Well, great. Now you're just going to be shown photos. So again, that opportunity is to keep mixing it up. But again, if people have been kind of locked in within Facebook, you're going to have to point them to it from a different source so they, you know, they can click in and get back to the page.
Mm. All right. Do we have some advice? What can we do?
Well, I think there's a couple options. You know, there the content strategy that I always go back to, and that is you're probably not posting things on Facebook and Twitter and your blog and everywhere else that are 100% different. You're probably taking the same topic or the same story and just, you know, oh, let's take the photo from this story and post that on Facebook. You know, let's take the beautiful quote from this, you know, person that we've served and post that on Twitter. You're taking the piece of it that makes sense for those channels, but ultimately the core story or article or whatever is the same. So wherever that full piece is posted, whether it's your blog or your website or a campaign site, make sure you have the links to, you know, to keep engaging with that content or to share it on Facebook, to go find them on Twitter, whatever. That way, again, you're kind of looping people back in to those channels from somewhere else instead of hoping that they just come across that photo in their newsfeed. If, you know, maybe they haven't engaged with the photo recently, so now they're not getting triggered within Facebook's system.
Okay, and that really does go to what you and I have talked about a lot, your advice around multi-channel engagement.
Yeah.
Okay. So really, you're emphasizing what is really very good practice routinely.
Yeah. And the other piece of that is, you know, don't just click into your Facebook insights, see those really big, pretty, you know, overviews where you think, oh yeah, our average reach is still on track. Make sure that as part of your tracking and metrics review process, you're going into that granular post by post view, so that you can start to say, oh gosh, you know, we saw a really great response on this and really low response on this. Let's try and target that, you know, and make sure that we're doing what's working or figuring out better ways to point people to those other, you know, posts that are probably important, but they just didn't get the reach.
Yes. Okay. Mary Smith recommends having people choose some preferences from your page about what they will see. What's your sense of that? Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, and I think You know, I understand it, and I get it. I'm there with you, but I just have this personal feeling that when you post, you know, hey everybody, Facebook has changed the way they do things. You need to now go to our page and click on this and do this. Same with, you know, hey, Google has introduced these tabs in Gmail. You know, please make sure that we're not listed as whatever tab, and trying to get people, you know, to change their settings so that yours is in the forefront. I feel like inevitably there will be some people that follow the directions because they like that you spelled it out for them, but many right. people won't do it, and it's Facebook. What have we learned? 5 days from now, they're going to change it again anyway. So I know that it is certainly a way of guaranteeing people will get those updates, but I don't know that it's worth your effort to try and engage and rally people around changing their settings if it's something that's just going to change anyway. Instead, it's better to just, you know, versus trying to change the system from the outside or change it from the inside, like politics, just look at what's working, do more of what's working, and try and encourage people, you know, in a multi-channel way to engage with that content instead of feeling like, well, our answer is to have, you know, people subscribe to get all of our updates. Because if you're sharing updates they're not interested with, it doesn't matter that they're getting them anyway, you know?
Yes.
So making sure that you're going from a content first place instead of, oh gosh, these are the new settings, you know, and trying to tell people to go change them. I just don't know that you're going to see the return on that kind of outreach the way you will by focusing on good content.
Okay, excellent. That's very consistent with what you've been saying month after month. I want to ask you for your 60-second style stop. What's your recommendation?
So this is a recommendation I realize now may or may not be of interest to you. But I enjoy taking jewelry with me when I travel. I know a lot of my style shopping is travel because that's inevitably what happens to me. But my trick is that I figure out the jewelry I want to take, and I attach it to my socks because I know my socks will not get lost the way, you know, a tiny earring will. And they are in my, like, small protected part of my suitcase, and I know where everything is. And so it may sound very strange, but I've never lost an earring. I've never lost a necklace. Attach them to your socks.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Excellent. Amy Sample Ward, her blog is amysampleward.org, and on Twitter, she's at AmyRSWard. Thank you very much, Amy. Thanks for your advice.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pleasure, as always. Next week, it's going to be Dr. Seuss stories. We're going to hit storytelling again, and then also fraud protection, check fraud, and other types of fraud. How vulnerable are you? I'm welcoming Rallybound as a sponsor. Their software is for runs, walks, and rides. They're a Giving Tuesday partner, which is very timely for the show today, and they're offering a Giving Tuesday campaign for free. I have met the CEO of Rallybound. We broke bread together. He's a very good guy. I believe in him and this software. It's very smart company. Check them out at rallybound.com/givingtuesday. And welcome. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is our line producer. The show's social media is by Deborah Askenes of Community Organizer 2.0. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. Our music is by Scott Stein. I hope you'll be with me next Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a female entrepreneur ready to break through? Join us at Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, where women are empowered to ask for and receive what they truly want in love, life, and business. Tune in Thursdays at noon Eastern Time to learn tips and juicy secrets from inspiring women and men who dare to define their success. Get inspired, stay motivated, and define your version of joy and success with Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, every Thursday at noon New York time on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.